been talking about transition. In the last 2 weeks, we started off by talking about Joshua and how he needed to put certain things behind, you know, and those of you who were here at prayer at 3:30, the Lord has just been saying again and again, you know, we need, he wants to pour out new wine. This means that certain old things have to go so that we can contain the new anointing, the new wine that God wants to pour upon our lives. Amen. And strategies, methods of the wilderness have to go, and we need to embrace the attitude that is going to take the city. And then last week we talked about Moses, right? We talked about how, you know, before even Joshua came to being where it all started, Moses was minding his own business. You know, he was running away from Pharaoh, from Egypt, and he's out in the wilderness, he's minding his own business, he's, you know, tending sheep, and God comes, and God is at work, even when Moses was minding his own business. You know, the Lord said that, I have seen what has happened. I have heard the cries of the Israelites, and I am concerned, right? And we talked about how God has placed us strategically. I believe that God has placed each and every one of us strategically here in this church, here in this time and this season. And God is saying, hey, church, I see, I hear what's happening outside, and I'm concerned. And Moses had to arise to say, you know, put aside all the excuses that he had and say, yes, Lord, I will follow what you say and what you do. Today we go back to Joshua. And we see what happened, Joshua chapter 3. Chapter 2, after Joshua said, okay, you know, we ended 2 weeks ago with Joshua saying, go through the camp, verse 10, chapter 1 and verse 10, go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we're going to cross the Jordan and go and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving. And after that, he sent spies in to spy out the land. One more time, you know, 40 years ago, he was one of the spies to spy the land. Now he sends spies in. And today I want to just talk about one thing that is in chapter 3, just before he crossed. No, so now this is 3 days later. All right, chapter 1, Joshua says, all right, get ready, get your supplies. 3 days' time, we're going to cross. Then he sends spies in. And 3 days later, they are about to cross the land. And Joshua, chapter 3 and verse 5, Joshua tells the people in verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Today I want to just focus on that one word, consecrate yourself. Now all of us want, expect, hopefully we expect, but we definitely want God to do amazing things among us, right? Amen? You know, God is a God of power. He's a great God. He wants to do great and mighty things in our midst. And we need to believe that that is what God wants to do in our midst. But in order to see that great and mighty things, in order to see the amazing things that God has in store for us, we need to do something before that. Joshua says, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow God's going to do. if we want to see that fulfillment of that change that God wants to bring about in our lives, if we want to see God do amazing things that is coming in that year of change as we enter, all right, we are at the end of the month already. We've got one more month to go. As we enter into a new year, the year of change, as the Lord would have us, there needs to be consecration. Before consecration happens, there is cleansing. And God has already, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, cleansed us. We are clean before the Lord because of the cross. And now we need to go one step further. We need to take it to the next level and be consecrated. Cleansing is an act of faith. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, there's nothing we can do to make ourselves clean. All right? The Bible tells us that, you know, all our works are like filthy rags. Nothing good. God has done it all on the cross. God has done it all to cleanse us and make us whole. But when we come to consecration, it has to do with us. It is now our part to get involved in consecration. Joshua tells the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. He gives us the picture that we need to be consecrated in preparation for that transition. Tomorrow is coming. We're going to take the land, but we got to get consecrated so that God can do amazing things in our midst. And today I want to talk about four things very, very quickly. What consecration involves? Firstly, it involves sanctification. Sanctification basically means to be set apart for God's holy use. Sanctification is to be set apart for God's holy use. Being set aside. Every time I talk about sanctification, I've given this illustration so many times. You know, a lot of times when we go and eat, right? We order a plate of char kway teow, the famous Penang char kway teow. Some of you mouth watering now already. Yeah? What happens is, and I've seen it so many times, what happens is the char kway teow comes with two nice juicy prawns. About that lah. Sometimes three. And a lot of times, when you eat, you take those prawns and you set them apart, you know. Save the best for last, right? And then, as you finish your last mouth of char kway teow, the prawn goes inside. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. It is set aside so that you experience something which is better at the end, right? At the end of that plate of char kway teow. Now, when we talk about sanctification, we are not only talking about, you know, set aside for later. We are talking about our lives being set apart from everything else, from all the kway teow and the tauge and the whatever else that you have there, being set apart for God's holy use. That is what consecration involves. Now, when we talk about setting apart, there are two things that we need to think about. Firstly, there is a setting apart from sin. In other words, anything that defiles us, anything that is sin in the eyes of the Lord, we have to be removed from it. And that is what consecration is. In those days, anything that is unclean, you need to remove yourself from it. And so when we think about consecration and sanctification today, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, what are some of the things that does not glorify you? I need to be set apart from that. Not only do we need to be set apart from sin, but we need to be set apart for holiness. Set apart from sin and being set apart for holiness. Those two things must go together. You know, sometimes we can say things like that. I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't, you know, do all the naughty things. So, okay lah. I can just be whoever I want to be as long as I don't get involved in all this quote-unquote unclean sin, right? But that's not what sanctification is. That's only part of it. You are set apart from sin, but you are also set apart for holiness. In other words, we need to be involved in the things that God has in store for us, for His plans and His purposes, His holy agenda. To be more and more and more like Him. Consecrate yourself. It involves being sanctified. Set apart from, set apart for. We need to pause right now and just ask ourselves, Lord, and ask the Lord to show us if there's any area in our life that has not been set apart. Because a lot of times, we look at the big stuff. Hey, I go to church, right? I serve, right? But what about the little things that sometimes we allow to just permeate our lives and slowly take over? Number two, consecration also involves surrender. In our conversion, when God makes us clean, what happens is God gives to us. For God so loved the world that He gave, right, His only begotten Son. God gave. But in consecration, we need to give to God. We need to be surrendered to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12 reads this, verse 1. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship unto the Lord. Now this verse talks about giving our total, absolute, it's unconditional, it's irreversible. We surrender our lives to God as a living sacrifice. Totally. The thing about sacrifice is that it is burnt up. Everything is consumed. And when we talk about surrender, we need to think everything. Cleansing at our conversion, at our salvation. We say God give, right? And our soul, spirit is surrendered to the Lord. And we say, God, take control. But at consecration, what happens is now we are also giving our bodies to the Lord. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto the Lord. Once upon a time, long, long ago, in a land far, far away, a boy put his hand in a jar. You know, a nice, you know, vase. And his hand got stuck in the jar. And so his parents came and tried to, you know, pull his hand out. Cannot get his hand out of this nice, you know, vase. And the parents thought, I've got to break this antique, you know, in order to get his hand out. And then the dad thought for a moment and said, you know, son, you do exactly as I tell you. And then he told his son, son, this is what you must do. You got to straighten your fingers all the way like this. And he began to show his son what to do, right? Straighten your fingers all the way like this. And we'll try to, you know, as straight as you can, and we'll try to pull it out. And the son said this, but dad, I can't. Why? Because if I straighten my fingers, I'm going to drop the coin. You see, what had happened to this boy was that he reached into this nice vase to pick up a coin and he was clutching it. Refused to let go. And because he refused to let go, his hand could not come out of the jar. What happens is, sometimes, if we are honest with ourselves, in fact many times, we want a lot of things for ourselves. We want a lot of things for ourselves, and the Lord is saying time and time again, drop it. Drop that which you are holding. Drop it. We need to be separated, surrendered totally unto the Lord. And we need to drop the things, the idols of this world that sometimes we so tightly hold on to and cling on to, and we get stuck. Consecration involves a release, a surrender unto the Lord. Thirdly, not only does it involve us being sanctified, set apart, that is, us being surrendered unto the Lord, sanctification also means there is a shift of ownership. There is a shift of ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19 says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought with at a price, therefore honor God with your body. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. There is now a transference, a change, a shift of ownership. We need When we talk about consecration, we need to look at ourselves, our lives, as the absolute property, complete, total property of the Lord who bought us. And our whole life, how we live, must be lived out in the light of that fact that there is a shift in ownership. Now when we think about that, this means that whatever God desires, whatever He commands, whatever He says, we need to remember that He owns us. We have been bought with a price. We know that price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consecrate yourselves, Joshua said. This means that we need to think of ourselves as one that belongs wholly and totally to God. Finally, number four. Consecration means we need to set up Christ as King of our lives. We need to set up Christ as King, to enthrone Him, to crown Him King of all. Hudson Taylor once said this: if you do not crown Him Lord of all, you do not crown Him Lord at all. If you do not crown Him Lord of all, you do not crown Him Lord at all. When we enthrone Him, it is when results happen. Turn with me to John, and I'm going to use this as an illustration, John chapter 7. John 7:37. John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Streams of living water will flow from within him. In other words, God is saying, if you believe in the Lord, what's going to happen to us is there will be a gushing of water, streams, not a stream, but streams of living water is going to flow from within us. And verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Now at that point of time, they have not received the Holy Spirit yet. And he goes on to say, up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now what I'm trying to say here is this. You see, Jesus is saying that if you believe in me, there's going to be a release, a gushing of streams of living water. And what he means is the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell in you. You are going to be so empowered, so filled. Cannot stand still. You know, the gushing of streams of water in our lives. This is what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes. But then he goes on to say that until that time, the Holy Spirit had not come yet. Why? Because Jesus had not yet been glorified. He was talking about his death, not his death, but his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. When Jesus went then the Holy Spirit came. When he was glorified, then the Holy Spirit came. You see, one of the things that we need to do before we can experience that release, that flow, that gushing, is we need to be consecrated, we need to be set apart, we need to come to the place to set Jesus as King over our lives. Because when that happens, when he is glorified in our lives, there is the release of the Holy Spirit just coming and filling and overflowing within us. That is the same. This is an illustration, and this is the same as what will happen in our lives. All the while I've been saying, you know, cleansing. Life begins at the cross, right? But even in this illustration, you see that Jesus came to give life. But the disciples only begin active service at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And that was when they began to see amazing things. You see, a life that is consecrated is a life that begins to see amazing things. Why? Because we have been set apart, we have been surrendered, we understand the shift of ownership, and we set up Christ as King over our lives. It was after that point in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. After that point, when you read verse 6 onwards, you see that process by which they begin to see mighty things happen in their lives. They cross the river stopped flowing. The moment they step into the river, the priest step into the river, stopped flowing. Or when they went in, they saw cities crumble just because they walked in obedience and in the power of the Holy Spirit, of God who is with them. Next year for us is a year of change. I believe that there are many things that needs to be done. As I mentioned, this is the preparation time until the end of the year. As we enter into change, there are certain things that needs to be put in place. We need to put aside the old strategies, the old techniques, the old whatever that God is saying, okay, this is old already, get rid of it. Certain things still can use, but God will tell us, you know, certain things, forget it. I'm going to take you into a new land, into a new season, into a new adventure. God is at work. And today I believe that he is saying to every single one of us, we need to consecrate ourselves. All of us want to see great and amazing things, right? All of us want to see that. We want to see a new thing happening. We want a shift. We don't really know what to expect next year, alright? And I believe most of us also, okay, year of change, well, let's see what happens. But there are certain things that needs to be put aside. Mindsets need to be put aside, and I cannot emphasize that enough. Certain structures, certain lifestyles have to be put aside, and that needs faith and boldness to be able to say, God, you are leading me in this direction. I'm going to put some of these things, some of these cultures even, aside. What I believed in, I'm going to put it aside. And Joshua says, you want to go in? Consecrate yourselves. And that means we need to be set apart from sin for holiness. We need to be totally surrendered. There's certain things perhaps in our lives, in the grasp of our hands, that we need to open up and say, Will the little boy get the coin if he release it? Sure. He'll just get it later, right? Get your hand out and tip the jar. Sometimes we can only see that which is in our hand. We cannot see what is ahead. And that causes us to be so confined. We're not free to see ahead because we simply refuse to open our hands to surrender. We need to live our lives walking, living with an attitude of understanding and knowing that God has bought us with a price. We are not our own. There is a shift of ownership with this body that we have. Everything that we do, the food that we put in, hey, think about that, because this body belongs to Him. And then, to be able to say, Lord, we enthrone You. We set You up, Jesus, as King of our lives. Because when that happens, there is a release of the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus is glorified, the Holy Spirit came. Pentecost is after, and only after, the glorification, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to place Him at the throne of our lives. Then we see that rivers, gushing rivers from within. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As we bow our heads right now, I'm going to ask us to just spend some time before the Lord and say, God, help me consecrate my life to You. I want to see amazing things. And I know, Lord, You want to do amazing things. You're going to do amazing things. But You need me to be consecrated before You. You need me to be sanctified, to be surrendered. You need me to understand that there is a shift. You need me to understand that I need to set You up as King. So can we just bow our heads and ask the Lord, Lord, please help me understand that. Is there any area that has been lacking, that I do not understand, that needs to be corrected, that needs to be changed? Is there any area in my life that is not set apart, not surrendered? Any area that I am taking ownership instead of releasing it to You, Lord? Any area in my life, any compartment that I have not made You, crown You King. Let us pray that right now, the Lord will lead us to be totally consecrated to Him. Surrendered to Him. Jesus. Holy Spirit, would You come? Open our eyes to see You. Open our ears that we may hear You. Open our hearts, Lord, that we would respond to You, be surrendered to You. Let the river flow. Consecrate, O God, Your people. Consecrate Your people. For we want to enter the new year. We want to enter into that place to see You work and do amazing things. Consecrate Your people, God, we pray. This is our prayer, Lord, that You would take all of us, every single part of us. Take us, Lord.
We want to be consecrated before you. So Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to work in our lives. Just continue to reveal yourself to us. Continue to show us, Lord. And teach us how we may be willing. Teach us how, Lord. Teach us how to respond to you. I believe, help my unbelief. Help us to have faith in the things of God. Help us, O God, to jump in by faith. Help us, God, to let go by faith. Help us, God, to receive by faith. Thank you, God. Father, I pray for your people. I ask, O God, that you would bless your people. Lord, cause us to have an expectant heart as we choose to be consecrated before you. Cause us, O God, to be expectant of the amazing things that you are about to do in our midst. We give you thanks, O God. We give you thanks for your blessing, your love, your anointing. We give you thanks. Help us, Lord, to walk in the joy of the Lord. To walk in the joy of the Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.